Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It's March 5th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, another northeastern state ramps up for registration and confiscation. And in Canada, who needs a law? Mounties declare certain rifles illegal over the objections of elected officials. Then, can the government evict you from your own home simply because you're not on the grid? All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Our top story tonight, showdown. Maryland to target over 100,000 citizens with gun confiscation. This by Paul Joseph Watson. The new law would link gun registry with a criminal database, with new troopers set to be hired to enforce door-to-door visits of illegal gun owners. Let's stop right there. Illegal gun owners, door-to-door visits, everything they said would not happen. We're not going to registrate to confiscate, but that's exactly what's happening here. Proof positive that registration does lead to confiscation in the United States of America. Because we saw Hurricane Katrina, they said, oh, that was some anomaly, that will never happen again. But now they know where the guns are. Even if they don't know where the guns are, they want to go door to door. If you're suspected of having a gun, they want to come knock on your door and see, hey, Mr. Jones, Mr. Smith, Mr. Johnson, do you have a gun inside your residence? Can we take a look? New legislation is being considered by the Maryland House of Delegates that would allow police to run checks of the state's gun registry against a criminal database at least twice a year at the cost of $300,000. So there it is right there for everybody who was skeptical. There it is. Even if you were on the fence, if you were one of the people who really wanted, quote, reasonable gun restrictions, this is a wake-up call for you. All right, this isn't time for I told you so's. If you're on the fence, if you're on the wrong side of this debate, you need to get on the right side of this debate. You see what they're trying to do. We see the mayors against the legal guns. They want registration confiscation. Maryland wants registration confiscation. Connecticut wants registration confiscation. And we need to get rid of these laws, get rid of this legislation, so we don't end up, might I say, like Canada. Because in Canada, we have Mounties overriding civilian rule to arbitrarily ban and confiscate firearms. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police are acting on their own authority to arbitrarily reclassify, ban, and ultimately confiscate certain rifles. The RCMP made good on its past threats and turned tens of thousands of Canadians into criminals overnight when they reclassified the Swiss Arms Classic Green Carbine. And it's a lot like what's going on here in the States, because they say, we don't like your rifle because it has a pistol grip on it, or we don't like that your rifle can have more than 10 rounds in the magazine, or, you know, whatever their deal is at the time. We don't like that your rifle has a sliding stock on it. Whatever, any reason they can do to take away your firearms, that's what they're doing. They're doing it in Canada, and now they're doing it here in the United States, because we see people like Feinstein, all these other gun grabbers, saying that if your rifle has more than one or two military characteristics, we're going to call it an assault rifle. Most of these people can't even tell you what an assault rifle is, because these laws are written by a lot of people. They go see the movies, or they go see see something on CNN in the Middle East where guys are using fully automatic AK-47s. I challenge people to go to a big box store here in the United States of America and find a fully automatic AK-47. You're not going to find it. You may find it occasionally here or there where people trade it in, but most of your guns aren't fully automatic, and that's what people are afraid of. So registration does lead to confiscation. If you live in Canada, God be with you. If you live up in the northeastern states, if you live in Maryland, if you live in Connecticut, do what you can to fight these gun confiscation measures. Tell them, come and take it. I'm not turning in my guns. And so we turn from them taking away your Second Amendment rights to them taking away your sovereignty in general. Woman fights for sovereignty after judge declares living off the grid illegal. Robin Spiranis has been fighting the city council since November when a code enforcement officer showed up at her home and tried to evict her from her own property for not using public utilities. She challenges that relying on nature for her needs is a personal choice and that she isn't in violation of anything. And I cannot agree more with Miss Robin here, because she says, hey, I have my own solar power. I collect my rainwater. If that's what I want to do, isn't that my business? Yes, that is your business, miss. They have no reason to come up to your house if you're not using their resources to begin with. If you have your solar power, you're off the grid, you're not using the smart meters, why do they have to come to your house? If you're not using the water utilities, if a pipe busts, it doesn't matter to you, you know, if somebody pipe bursts down the street, because you got your own stuff. But they still want to come to your house and mess with you. And this is what's very important for people to realize, you preppers or people who live maybe out in the sticks or whatever. Just because you're off the grid doesn't mean that they won't try to come and mess with you. And this is a proof positive example of this. You still have to be active in your communities. You still have to go to the city council meetings. You still have to fight with whoever you got to fight with to get on the right side of the right people to make sure that you can be left alone in your sovereignty. And this is just a shining example of that. Now, we move to a very serious topic now, and not to say that the previous articles weren't serious, but it's a very sad topic. Surge in babies born without brains in Washington State. As reported by CNN, a nurse in the area, Sarah Barron, was the first to report on a particularly horrifying condition in which babies are born without much of their brains and skull. Over a three-year period, there were 23 cases concentrated in three southern Washington counties, Yakima, Benton, and Franklin. Barron, however, says she wonders if the state authorities did not find anything because they didn't look hard enough at all possible causes. Now, this is referring to the investigation. She also went on to state that the health department has not spoken to any of the parents of the babies who had the birth defects, which is very troubling to me because you think about if enough people get food poisoning in a county or a particular city, they'll go to these people and say, hey, what did you eat or where did you go? And they say, oh, I went to Bob's Fish Shack. And then they go talk to Bob. And, you know, they may find out that maybe he's not preparing his fish the right way and then handle the situation from there. But when you have some horrific birth defects, why would you not want to go talk to the parents and find out if they were eating a certain thing or if they lived in a certain area? Well, I guess they do live in a certain area. What's going on in these three counties? People need to investigate this and find out. And this is how you make your mark in journalism. People ask me all the time, how do you get on the show? How can I, you know, do more to help people? Find out who these people were. Go talk to them. You know, be polite and just say, hey, you mind if I ask you a few questions? Post online and you may end up on the show. 9 out of 10 Texas voters want Obamacare repealed and welfare recipients drug tested. Well, that says it all right there. The article on Infowars.com has many other polls, including things such as expanding CHL locations, the places where you can actually take your concealed weapon with you when you're throughout the state of Texas. So it says it all right there. People don't want Obamacare here in the state of Texas, but yet it's still being crammed down our throats. People want welfare recipients drug tested, but once again, they're slow moving on that. So we'll see how things develop. And a development I don't want to see, anti-leaks legislation coming within weeks, NSA chief. The head of the National Security Agency, General Keith Alexander, alluded to unspecified legislation on media leaks as being forthcoming, potentially within weeks, during remarks at a cybersecurity panel on Tuesday. This was at Georgetown University. And I believe it. The hardest part for me to believe about this story is that they didn't try to ram through this these legislations sooner because, you know, they hate these leaks. They hate people like Edward Snowden. And this just falls in line with the whole big narrative. The FCC, you know, the FCC is trying to come down and go to your newsroom, tell you what to report, how to report it. Why didn't you report on this story? Why didn't you say that this way? Why didn't you say it that way? Meanwhile, the head of the FCC even came out and said, hey, I don't think this is a good idea, but the Obama administration wants it anyway. And I'm sure many other administrations, if they could have got away with this, they would have done it as well. But this is the censorship of your media. That's why the alternative media is so important. And we'll be talking about the alternative media in just a little bit when we go on to our guest. But this is what you have to do. If you don't want to, you know, be involved in this, these people out there, all the people in the newsrooms around America, just say no. Like a drug slogan, just say no. Like, no, you're not coming in here. You're not telling me what to do. This is the United States of America. I still have a First Amendment right. And let's talk about your rights, your right to privacy. Google Glassware is banned from San Francisco Somar Bar. And there's a sign there that says, our patrons have expressed concern with being recorded while enjoying themselves at the Willows. Kindly remove before entering. And there's the picture of the Google Glass. And as a private establishment, it is their right to say, we don't want you to come in here, you know, with these recording devices on your face. But the thing that always gets me about surveillance, if you're wearing Google Glass or you have a camcorder or you're running around with your iPhone snapping pictures and people kind of look at you like, hey man, what are you doing? Why are you recording me? I was like, bro, I'm not even recording you. You're just standing in the way of that monument or whatever I'm trying to take a picture of. But when the government does it, as we saw in our last article, people really don't care. People don't care that Wired Magazine has these high-ranking chiefs on there saying that we'll spy on you through your dishwasher. Go look that up. Wired Magazine will spy on you through your dishwasher. They don't care that they're tapping your phone, that they can spy on you through your laptop, that they can spy on you through your smart TV. You can go find that article on CNN. I believe there's actually a video that accompanies that. They don't care when the government spies on them when they walk down the street and they have all these halo cameras everywhere, or they have secret cameras or whatever, placed anywhere. That's all peachy keen. As long as you can't see somebody spying you or recording you, that's okay. Nobody seems to care about that. But the minute somebody gets in your face with a camera, then everybody freaks all out. I was like, why don't you freak out when they're recording you in your house over your Xbox? That does, I just can't understand that. You're probably doing some stuff that you don't want people to see, even if it's not illegal. And now we'll end on something that she didn't want anybody to see, and it very much was illegal. That's Miss Lois Lerner. She had some words to say, or very few words to say, to Mr. Issa.
On the advice of my counsel, I respectfully exercise my Fifth Amendment right and decline to answer that question.
Ladies and gentlemen, seeking the truth is the obligation of this committee. I can see no point in going further. I have no expectation that Ms. Lerner will cooperate with this committee, and therefore we stand adjourned.
So you can go before the House Oversight Committee and plead the Fifth, but in the city of Austin, Texas, if you fail to identify after jaywalking, you're going to jail. Isn't this a great country that we live in? So that brings us to our break, but stay tuned because right after this, Alex Jones will be giving us a breakdown of the false flag, the sniper attacks in Kiev, and also I'll be talking to David West, the director of the TSA Dick Johnson video. You don't want to miss that as well. So stop by PrisonPlanet.tv, get yourself a 15-day free trial. You can see our loving mayor right there giving us all the finger about the fluoride. You can see all that and so much more on PrisonPlanet.tv. So stay tuned right after this break for more special reports.
Globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. And the InfoWars Army is standing strong. Wake up your family, friends, and neighbors and break the matrix at InfoWarsStore.com. Learn the truth and spread the message of liberty with the world's most comprehensive collection of books and documentary films. Maintain a healthy metabolism and energize your body to perform at peak health with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Protect your family and be prepared with survival foods and emergency preparedness kits. And now you can drink safe water with your own ProPure water filtration system, which removes fluoride and other harmful chemicals from your family's water supply. Save 10% with the promo code WATER. So join the revolution. InfoWarsStore.com.
And welcome back. Earlier today on the Alex Jones radio show, Alex was breaking down the sniper situation in Kiev, how the snipers are targeting both police and protesters alike.
Details of leaked phone call between EU Foreign Affairs Chief Catherine Ashton and Estonian Foreign Minister Umas Pate suggests that the U.S.-backed opposition was responsible for hiring snipers who gunned down protesters in Kiev and not the deposed government of Viktor. How do you pronounce that? Yanukovych? Am I pronouncing that right, guys? Yanukovych? I am pronouncing it right. As the media widely claimed. Continuing here. During the phone call, Pate tells Ashton that evidence presented to him by a doctor who treated victims of the sniper attacks clearly indicates both police and protesters were being shot at by the same people. Yes, to create the illusion. And this is what Operation Gladio would do. And Kurt Nimmo's article gets into that, how NATO And again, I'm not defending the Russians during the Cold War. It's that both sides did dirty stuff, okay? NATO did hundreds of bombings and shootings from Germany to Italy, from France to Ukraine, you name it, into non-NATO countries at the time, where if communists started getting too popular, they'd shoot people and blame it on them, or bomb people and blame it on them. If right-wing groups got too popular and they didn't like where they were going, they would shoot people and blame it on them. If mainline groups, I mean, they did this over and over again. This got declassified by the Italian government 14 years ago, and then even more about 3 years ago, and the U.S. government had to admit it. NATO was involved, the British were involved, the Germans were involved. They called them stay-behind networks. After World War II, a lot of the Nazi-held areas, the U.S. just took over the Nazi networks that were there, like Ukraine, Western Ukraine, and continued to use them to carry out terror attacks, but they were being directed by the West. So that's how this operates, and people need to be made aware of that. And I watched how this went, how the police tried to stand down so they wouldn't look bad, to give them the political support. Then they start getting shot, and our media is calling them freedom fighters, and Precision, you know, throwing Molotov cocktails at police cars, burning them up, and very serious situation. And look, if the Ukrainians want to overthrow their government, that's their business, but the West is in there stirring it up, overthrowing an elected government, and now putting people in even worse so the EU can suck them dry. This is the type of stuff they'll do in America. They will commit mass shootings and blame it on the Tea Party. You can see all the writing on the wall. They will commit new Oklahoma cities and blame it on us. And I'm just saying, it's all they've got left. The problem is they know our people are everywhere and are going to run with video cameras to the next Oklahoma City, to the next mass shooting. They know, myself or my reporters, will march in to the press conferences with the evidence.
Symbols are powerful, and the globalists have hijacked the symbols of America. They've turned them into their own symbols. Well, we are restoring the idea of the true republic, not the counterfeit globalist empire, by promoting the icon George Washington and others. That's why we're rolling out an 100% made in America line of incredible pro-liberty apparel. We are repopularizing liberty. We are helping fellow Americans rediscover what made this country great. We are the spirit of 1776. We are 1776 worldwide. We are all brothers and sisters in arms in the animating contest of liberty in the long march towards humanity's ultimate destiny of freedom. Visit madein1776.com today and vote with your dollars to promote truly made in America, high quality products, and promote the ideals of liberty.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
I'm part of a new TSA initiative to screen certain high-risk travelers at their homes before they even set foot in an airport.
High risk? Really?
Well, you're a white, gun-owning, 20-something Christian man who wrote in Ron Paul in 2 elections and has a house positively chock full of anti-government propaganda. So, since you fit the domestic terrorist profile to a T, the lovely folks at the TSA just wanted me to come down here so I can make sure that you're safe to travel. Now, I assure you, this will make the process at the airport much smoother. And if everything checks out, you won't even have to do a cavity search there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we're just going to go ahead and take care of that right here in the privacy and convenience of your own bathroom.
What?
Dick Johnson!
Next time on Dick Johnson.
And that was a clip from Dick Johnson, the winning entry to the Resist NSA TSA Tyranny. Now we have the director of that film, David West. He's going to be talking to us about his film and his future projects. Thanks for joining us, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, very good. So tell us about your entry. What motivated you to get involved in the contest and also what angle you took to portray the TSA?
You know, it's funny. Actually, when I first heard about the contest, I had this great idea for this dark little drama I was going to make about the NSA. And then I read the rules a little further and I saw they were looking for satire. And I was like, ah, comedy's not really my thing. And I actually wasn't going to enter. My entry was super last minute. Right before Christmas, a friend of mine, my good friend Chuck Horton, he gave me the idea that he said, hey, I got this idea. I really think you should do it. And it's funny because usually I don't really take ideas from people, but he told me I should make a film about a TSA agent who just shows up at people's houses to search them before flights.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about that kind of over Christmas. And I was like, okay, that's really interesting. And so I decided, okay, I'll do it. And I started kind of brainstorming ideas. And but it was Christmas time, so I was really busy with family and stuff. And it wasn't until like January 1st or 2nd that I was actually able to sit down and write a script. So basically, you know, I'd figured out I was going to make it about this real sort of a sexual predator TSA agent. Mm-hmm. And give it kind of a 70s exploitation film / cop show vibe.
Yeah, and then I think the handlebar mustache really helped as well.
that was perfect. You know, actually, that was kind of, the whole film was last minute. Like I said, you know, we made the whole thing from scripting to turning it in like 15 minutes before the deadline. It was less than 6 days.
Yeah.
Travis Wolfe, my lead actor who plays Dick Johnson, and a good friend of mine I've known forever who's in most of my films, he had a beard going into it and he was like, I don't really want to shave. And I was like, dude, you should do it. You should do it. And, you know, I don't want to push him too hard cause I'm not paying him or anything, but, finally he just did it and shaved it. And you know, it's a $10,000 handlebar now, I guess. So it really,
yeah,
that's really
it.
Helped.
It's definitely worth every penny. And we really enjoy that. You were in the top three along with Joy Camp and also the trendy TSA guys. So you guys have some great entries and definitely, it was a very good take at comedy. I'm not sure how often you do that. You say that's really not your forte, but we really couldn't tell. It was some great stuff you came up with. So if you don't mind me prying a little bit, you know, what are your plans to do with that $10,000?
Well, the first thing, of course, you know, I'm splitting it up kind of between the crew a bit, you know, giving everyone a cut. The bulk of the money, though, I'm keeping to kind of use for future production purposes. We will most likely be buying a new camera in the coming months. We will be buying a new camera in the coming months. I'm not 100% sure what yet. Most likely, we shot this film on a Panasonic GH2. Most likely a Panasonic GH4, which will come out in a couple months. But you know, there might be something new that comes out. Camera technology advances at an amazing rate. But, yeah, we're going to get some new equipment that will help us keep making films for almost nothing.
Great, great. And that's what it's all about, you know, because people, they see the show and they say, you know, what happens? You know, you have these guys on the show or, you know, you go out there, you fight the TSA, you fight the NSA. This is what happens. You know, we got guys like yourself, other people we've been able to, fortunate enough to promote, people from our previous contest. I'm from a previous contest. So that it goes all around full circle. This is what your money goes to. These are what your dollars go to when you go to PrisonPlanet.tv or anything else, is to help independent filmmakers and other people who are just trying to get the message of liberty out there. So, David, tell me about some of your other projects. I saw one of your other films, The State of Jefferson. It has a little more serious vibe, but it's definitely enjoyable.
Yeah, that was another thing I did for a contest. I've been entering a lot of contests recently. You know, I sort of pick ones that I can, if I can, I try to pick contests where I can make something that sort of furthers my ideology. Like, you know, your guys' contest was an excellent example of that. And ones that I feel like I might have a chance of winning. So that was for one about making a short film about where you're from and where you live. And so I live in Southern Oregon, the part of Oregon that has tried to secede and form their own state. And I grew up in the part of California that, you know, has tried to secede as well and form their own state, along with Southern Oregon called the state of Jefferson. So, I put that together because I knew that, you know, it was something that would, there's been a big kind of insurgent, in the state of Jefferson movement again recently. So I wanted to kind of help out with that. Yeah, that one's not super dramatic, but yeah, a little more serious than Dick Johnson. But most of my other films are actually kind of action drama oriented. You know, the last really big short film that I did was, last summer I made a film called Liberation. And it's basically about, it was actually for another competition for a Christian film competition that we most likely got barred from because of, the film's kind of overt libertarianism. But yeah, it's called Liberation, and it was about a military police officer, sort of a secret police kind of thing. It's almost like a sort of Nazi allegory going on in America, but it's about this military police officer in a dystopian near future who starts breaking people out of a prison camp. And I was pretty happy with it, considering the fact that we made it in, you know, the whole thing was made in like about 2 weeks or less. It was shot and edited all in a week.
Wow.
And on a budget of less than $800. And it turned out pretty good. I would say it's probably my best film to date.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so kind of moving forward, that's what I want to do, is just action drama type stuff. Although I do have kind of a dark sense of humor that does come into play from time to time.
Yeah, we saw that. Well, Dick wasn't too dark, but it was
definitely had a,
I guess, kind of a racy kind of tone, is how Alex described it. Now, David, going forward, we come to the end of our program tonight. But you know, what would you say to anybody to encourage them? Because I always tell people when I go out in the streets, or even when I do the show, I say it's not all about being on the radio or being on TV in a suit. You can do things like what you do. You know, you go out there with your friends, you make films, things like what Joy Camp does. They go out there and they make these satire pieces. What would you do to encourage? What would you say to somebody to encourage them to pursue the act of liberty?
I would just tell them use whatever talents you have. I mean, if people use what they're good at to further the cause of liberty, you know, it'll do more good than if they try to, you know, think, oh, I can only do this kind of activism or that kind of activism. I mean, I like to think that I have some gifts as a storyteller and a filmmaker. So that's what I'm trying to use. I think the film is an incredibly powerful medium, you know, and if I can be successful at launching a career as a bona fide filmmaker and, you know, kind of, as I like to say, take the libertarian conspiracy to rule the world and leave everyone alone to Hollywood, you know, I think it could be incredibly effective. You know, you can win a lot of people over through that. So I would just say, yeah, use your talents. You know, if you're a filmmaker, make films that further the cause of liberty. If you're a journalist, do that.
Just whatever your talents are.
Yeah, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because we see even sometimes athletes, you know, we have the InfoWars skateboards. Just whatever your talent is, that's what you need to do. If it's making T-shirts, do that. Go out on the streets and make videos with your friends. Just whatever. Just do whatever you can to further the cause of liberty, to talk about topics that you're interested in, even if you have to do it in a satirical way. Just do it some way that it's digestible to a mass audience. So David West, Buck the System at Facebook.com. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
And as I told David, when you support us, we support guys like David. We support guys like Joy Camp, guys like Project Veritas, anybody who enters the contest. I was in a contest. So when you go to PrisonPlanet.tv and you get yourself a subscription, that's what your money goes to. When you go to the InfoWars shop and you pick up the new Molon Labe shirts, when you get the fluoride shirts, when you get whatever, anything that you get here at this operation goes not only back into the operation to help us build new sets and things like that, but also goes to independent filmmakers, journalists, people out there who are really trying to get the word out. So get a PrisonPlanet.tv subscription today. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.